Father, I thank you for the people who came out tonight. I'm asking a special blessing upon those whose hearts are broken tonight. I'm asking, Father God, for perfect peace that passes all understanding to flood their souls. I'm asking, Father God, that you answer the questions why. Give them peace in the midst of their storms. And Father, we know that you are our loving Father. And we know that you do everything for our good and your glory. But Father God, tonight we need you to hold us in your arms because we can't quite understand what exactly is going on. Let your love penetrate our hearts and let our hearts become holy ground, Father, as we sang tonight. Let us become the vessels of honor that you can work through. And Father, I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight I'm going to teach on child likeness. Matthew 18, verse 1 says, "And at that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven.'" Now I want you to listen to what we're reading, all right? "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." God's telling us that we have to become like little children in order to really receive him, serve him. He's telling us we have to become like little children if he's going to be able to use us. He's telling us that we have to become totally and completely humble, letting go of every bit of our flesh, and just trusting him totally and completely, 100%, that he knows exactly what he's doing. Luke 18:17 said, "Assuredly I say to you," Jesus speaking here, "whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." You have to receive the kingdom of God just like a little child, just trusting and believing. Jesus expresses this same message about the spiritual importance of being childlike. Matthew 18:3 says, "And assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now what that's telling us there is you have to let go of all your pride and all your glorified thoughts that you have, and you have to admit that you know absolutely nothing, and you have to be like a little child that has to be led around and retaught the ways of God. Matthew 18:3 states that the defining attributes of a child are trusting, lowly, loving, and forgiving. Just think how much more we would enjoy our lives if we operated in those virtues. A little child is trusting, lowly, loving, and forgiving. Children believe what they are told. Some people say children are gullible, meaning they believe anything, no matter how ridiculous it sounds. But children are not gullible, they are trusting. It is a child's nature to trust unless he has experienced something that teaches him otherwise. Excuse me. One thing we need to know about children is that they enjoy life. A child can literally enjoy anything. A child can turn work into a game so they can enjoy it. I remember when I first married Larry, he was always having this kid go out in the yard and pick up sticks, and he actually made a game of it, and they actually thought they were having fun. But they got the yard all gathered, the sticks all gathered up out of the yard. The child in all of us. Every healthy adult should have a child in them. I've already called the deliverance ministry and I said, if I see you do anything back, I'm going to slap you. All right? Every healthy adult should have a child in them. Each of us starts out in life as a child. And as we grow up, we need to protect that child in us. Always remember, Satan is always out to kill the child. Matthew 2:1-16. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people's Israel. That was what the prophet wrote. It says, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Isn't it interesting that Satan was afraid of a child, and that child was the king of the Jews? Do you know Satan is still afraid of children? He does not want any of us to walk in childlike faith. I was listening to Brother Allen the other day here in the service. He was, little Isaiah had something, and he was going, and Allen was going on and on. Oh, that's really neat. And you know, talking about how his boys, this and that and the other, and he just really enjoyed playing with him. And I thought, now, he had that little child in him that enjoyed life, and he could play with his children. Now, I know a lot of men who don't have a child in them anymore, and they can't play with anything. You know, they don't know how to play with their children. And this is where the children are really shortened, because they need a father who knows how to play with them, but yet knows how to nurture them also. And I really thought that was neat, Brother Allen, that you knew how to play with your children. Amen. Kings rule. Perhaps the lesson here is that if we desire to rule and reign as kings in life, we must also become like little children. When we become childlike, it frightens the devil just as the Christ child frightened Herod. See, if you become childlike, then that means you're fully trusting God. And that really gets the devil upset, because once you fully trust God, then he's lost you, and you're going to do his kingdom a lot of damage. So he's going to do everything he can to destroy that child inside of you. Revelation 12:4-5 says, His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. What did Satan do? He was wanting to devour that child the minute it was born. God told me one time there's two angels standing when you give birth. One of them is of Satan and one of them is of God. It depends on who grabs hold of that ankle first, who that child belongs to. And what he meant by that is, if that child's been prayed over, the enemy can't have it. But if nobody's been praying over that child in the womb, then the devil's going to win that little thing. Are you listening? We can see how Satan seeks to devour the child from the time it is born. We know that this scripture is referring to Jesus, but I believe there is a principle here that we can learn from. Many children are abused in their childhood. Satan doesn't wait until they are grown up to destroy them. He starts early in their lives. Children are not able to protect and defend themselves. And Satan, acting as a bully, often attacks those who seem powerless to fight back. The devil desires to destroy them mentally and emotionally, as well as prevent them from ever fulfilling God's plan for their lives. He steals their childhood through sexual, verbal, mental, and emotional abuse. Satan steals a child's childhood through sexual, verbal, mental, and emotional abuse. They grow up in a dysfunctional home where alcoholism, violence, and incest are prevalent. They don't like being children. Now, I know this for a fact because this is Gabriel. They don't like being children. As a matter of fact, they hate being children, and they can't wait to become adults so nobody can control or hurt them ever again. He tells me that over and over again. Their plan is to grow up and never allow anyone to hurt them ever again. Of course, this means that they can never trust anyone either, and that they have to take care of themselves. Remember whenever I told you, God said, you don't trust me? I said, yes, I do, Father. And he said, no, if you can't trust man, then you don't trust me either. So I said, their plan is to grow up and never allow anyone to hurt them ever again. Of course, this means that they can never trust anyone and that they have to take care of themselves. They do not have the character attributes of a child, trusting, loving, lowly, and forgiving. They do not have any joy or enjoyment of anything. And see, because Gabriel was taken away and abused, terribly abused, this is how he thinks. And he acts that out. And he can't wait till he gets old enough to take revenge on those who truly did hurt him. This is something God, I really pray constantly that God gets out of him. All right, they become unbalanced. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So I said, these type of children that are abused, they become unbalanced. Areas that are out of balance in our lives are open doors for the enemy. He stalks around looking for these doors. We Christians are often busy fighting demons when what we actually need is the restoration of a balanced life. All right? We need restoration of a balanced life. Psalms 23:3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, do you believe that or not? He restores my soul. See, so we need to get balanced again. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I believe with everything in me that what God has spoken for this year is coming to pass. And he has spoken and promised that restoration of what is lost or ruined, everything is going to come to pass this year. I stand on that every day. God, you promised you was going to restore everything that Palmer and Kangor have stolen. This year, you're going to restore it. If we will allow God, he will restore our emotions and our mind. Our wills will be delivered from rebellion. We will no longer need to control. We will be led instead of being driven. We will be led by the Holy Spirit instead of driven by fear and insecurity. And God will also restore our lost inner child. Let's go back there again. Our wills will be delivered from rebellion. We will no longer need to control. We will be led instead of being driven. We will be led by the Holy Spirit instead of driven by fear and insecurity. God will also restore our lost inner child. In other words, we will be able to trust, love, forgive, live with simplicity in our approach to life, and we will be free to enjoy what we do. We will be free to enjoy what we do. Fun is an important part of life and necessary to maintain right balance. Fun is an important part of life and necessary to maintain right balance. We need to determine to enjoy everything that we do. We need to determine to enjoy everything that we do. And I try to get across to little Gabriel, but his mind is blocked. He has that one idea and you can't get through that. People bound in perversion do not know how to have fun. Have you ever been around somebody who's been in perversion? They can't have fun. They can't enjoy themselves. All they think about is that perversion and when they can act it out. And they're hard to live with because there's no little child in them. They've destroyed that little child with their perversion, Satan or somebody did, and all they cannot have fun. They don't know how to have fun. Now, why would you want to keep serving this devil whenever he's stolen everything from you, even your child that's inside of you? Come on. My mother was, she always had a child in her. She knew how to have fun. She knew how to have fun with her kids. And up until she died, she always had fun. She enjoyed life. When my youngest sister died, she appeared to me. Now, I don't know where my younger sister's at, so we won't go there. But she appeared to me, and she said, Jimmy, have fun. You don't know how to have fun anymore. This is what she spoke. You used to know how to have fun. What's happened to your joy? And, you know, that was all, you know, she's dead, but she spoke that to me. And I don't know if that was an angel coming to me, but it really got my attention. And I decided, you know, this thing that has bound me up and caused me not to have fun, I'm done with it. You might not want to have fun, but I'm going to have fun in life. I'm going to enjoy myself once again. Amen. You want to be perverted and you want to do your thing, you go ahead. But I'm going to have fun in life. I'm not perverted. Are you understanding this? Come on. When you're perverted, you're always angry. You know, there's no joy anywhere in you. You're always angry because your mind's always someplace else. I know you just went through that little seminar, but I hope you learned something from it, and I hope you are changing because you have to determine you're going to change. You have to determine, I'm going to let go of this junk that's kept me bound, and I'm going to start having fun in Christ. 1 Peter 5:8, we're going to read that again. Be sober. See, I've emphasized sober. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Sober in this context means to be serious. We need to get serious about our walk with God. We need to get serious about this little child that the enemy has totally destroyed. However, that does not mean that we should be that way all the time. You know, you just have to learn to just sit and relax. Some people are too tightly wound, and you need to be able to sit and relax and just enjoy life in Christ, okay? And, you know, somebody can take that and run and go get drunk or go do something dumb thing. Enjoy life in Christ. Ecclesiastes 3:1-4 says, to everything there is a season and a time for every matter or purpose under heaven, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. We need to get balanced again, and we need to know when to do all these things. Children are free, and Jesus came to set us free. The children are free to love, to live, to enjoy, and to be all we can possibly be in Him. Yeah, you know, children are free. Have you ever noticed Isaiah? That boy is free. Nothing has him bound. I mean, him and Trinity and Gabriel have one personality, and Isaiah has a totally different personality. I love to be around him because he's so adorable. I mean, he's ornery, but he knows how to enjoy life. Amen. He's free. Ecclesiastes 3:1-4. I read it, didn't I? Okay. John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And Galatians 4:31 says, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This is just coming to me. I really believe with all my heart the reason why you can't enjoy praise and worship is because you don't have no child inside of you that can really enjoy life. So you stand there or sit there just as dumb and serious as you are any other time, and you don't know how to let loose and enjoy yourself. I really do believe that. Be determined to have this freedom and to keep it. Be determined to have this freedom and to keep it. You have a blood-bought right to enjoy life. Being around somebody that doesn't know how to enjoy life is hell. I'm flat out. Because they can make you try. They can try to make your life as miserable can be. And you have to fight continually to keep the joy. You might have to go outside or go to a corner and scream sometime. You're not going to steal my joy. You're not going to steal this child that's inside of me. I'm going to have a good time. I've had people say, why don't you act your age? Or what is my age? My little child is little, right? So I act like that little child, right? He might be 1, 2, 3. She might be 1, 2, 3. I don't know how old it is. But I really do know how to have a good time in life. I can laugh. And I can sing. And I can poke fun at myself. All right? Come on. So I said, be determined to have this freedom and to keep it. You have a blood-bought right to enjoy life. Jesus calls his own little children. I believe one of the ways we maintain our liberty is through frequent reminders of who we are in Christ. Did you read the word for today? You know, I said, God, I don't see anybody else writing words like this. You know, I really don't. I read, you know, Bill Marshall Burns. But, you know, he just gets happy. He just says whatever he wants to say, and I write it down. And I put it out there, and then I go back and read it again. I said, well, that sounds pretty good. At first, I think, we want to post this? Because, you know, that's who God is. He can be serious. He can be anything he wants to be. And today, he was happy, wasn't he? Really, really happy. So, you know, come on. If we say, I'm Christ-like, are you? Come on, are you? Jesus played with the little kids, didn't he? Little children, didn't he? Jesus laughed. He went to parties, didn't he? Well, he knew how to have a good time, but he didn't sin. See, we think if we go to a party, we have to sin. All right, so I said, Jesus calls his own, you know, you and I, little children. I believe one of the ways we maintain our liberty is through frequent reminders of who we are in Christ, and who we are in Christ as little children. We read some scriptures about that. Let's read John 21:1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, We're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, Children, have you any food? They answered him, No. All right. And Jesus said to them, Cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. It seems to me that in deciding to jump up and go fishing, these disciples quickly made an emotional decision that did not produce the desired result. Jesus said, Do you have anything? No. All right. We also frequently make fleshly emotional decisions that do not produce anything until we learn that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. All right. John 21:5. Then Jesus said to them, Children, have you any food? And they answered him, No. At 1 John 2:12, I write to you, little children. You know, he said, Children, have you any food? He didn't say disciples, did he? He didn't say grown men. He said, Children. Then in 1 John 2:12, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. If Jesus and Paul and John and all them called us little children, why do we have a problem with that? I'm a man. Are you really? Come on. I watch you. No, you're not. You just think you are. Come on. Gabriel said, I can't wait till I can grow a beard and I'll have a mustache. I'll be a man. I said, No, you won't, baby. That does not make you a man. Hair does not make you a man. Perhaps John learned this expression from hearing Jesus. Well, 1 John 2:12 says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Perhaps John learned this expression from hearing Jesus refer to him and the other disciples in this way. It seems to be an endearing terminology that immediately puts us at rest, makes us feel loved and cared for, and lets us know that we need to lean on the Lord for everything. You macho men. You need to learn to lean on Jesus for everything. And quit leaning on your own self, your own emotions, or whatever you lean on. You make fun of women, but I'm going to tell you, well, some women are bad too, but I'm going to tell you that women know how to enjoy life. They know how to lean on Jesus. Jesus wants us to grow up in our behavior. But he also wants us to remain childlike in our attitude toward him concerning trust and dependence. You know, that is true. You know, somebody, I said, I wish they'd grow up. Because you take a little child to an extreme. But you know, you have to see, you're unbalanced. You have to, you know, God told me one time, my people have to get well-rounded. They're unbalanced. And we have to know when to let the little child come to life. We have to know when to be serious. You know what I'm saying? We have to, there's a season for everything. All right. Jesus wants us to grow up in our behavior, but he also wants us to remain childlike in our attitude toward him concerning trust and dependence. He knows that we cannot have peace and enjoy life unless we do so. I've noticed people that really don't follow God don't have any peace. They don't know how to enjoy life. All they can do is think about the dark things and their little idols. We are God's children. I want you to get that in your spirit tonight. We are God's children. Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you, God says. You know, some women can forget their kids the minute they have them, their children. Others never forget them. In this verse, the Lord used the example of a nursing mother and how she tenderly cares for and has compassion on her child and his needs. See, that's how God is with us. He has compassion on us, and he knows what our needs are, and he wants to tend to our needs. Our Heavenly Father wants us to know that we are his precious little ones, his children, and that when we come to him as such, we show faith in him, which releases him to care for us. You go to God and say, God, you're weeping your eyeballs out. You say, God, I can't do this. I can't do this without you. He loves that because you went down to the childlike faith and saying, I'm undone and I need your help. Amen. We need to understand that God is not like people. If people in your past have hurt you, don't let it affect your relationship with the Father. You can trust him. He will care for you as a loving father. See, and a lot of you people in here, men and women alike, you fall into this category. You know, if people hurt you, you blame it on God. You treat God just like you do the person who hurt you. And you need to let go of that junk. That junk is spiritually killing you. All right? Let go of it. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. So whenever you receive Christ, it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When somebody tells you about the Father, about Jesus, they do it as obedient children, not conform yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. When we first gave our heart to God, we didn't know what we were doing worth tiddly. We didn't. Somebody just said, you want to receive Christ? We thought that was a good thing. We said, yeah, why not? And, you know, then the war began, and then we couldn't figure out what we was doing. Amen? We must come to God as little children, or we will never walk in obedience. Like the other day, I told Gabriel to get it in the house, and he turned and looked at me and he said, no. And I said, what? What did you say to me? And he said, no. I said, you get in the house right now. He turned around, went in, and we were doing his schoolwork, and I let him have a break, recess break. And he was sitting there. He said, you know why I said no? And I said, no. He said, I really didn't want to come in. I didn't know what else to do. And Isaiah's always telling you no, and he seemed to get away with it, so I thought I'd try it too. I said, don't ever tell me no again when I tell you something. I said, Isaiah really doesn't get away with it when we tell him no. He does have to do what we tell him to do. But, you know, boy, he turned around just as ignorant and ugly as he could. No, you know. But what would happen if I let him get away with that? Couldn't do that. We must come to God as little children or we will never walk in obedience. We must lean on him and continually ask for his help. Everything that God has called us to do, he must help us do. His word says that. What I call you to do, I equip you to do. So everything that God has called us to do, he must help us to do. He doesn't call, you know, he isn't like some parents. Tells you to go do something, you don't know what you're doing, and then they stand over you, like lord it over you, and beat you to death because you don't know what you're doing. That isn't what God does. He calls us to do something, then he shows us how to do it, and he walks through it, us through it. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The Greek word translated children is partially defined as darlings. God wants you and me to know that we are his little darlings. Amen. I hope you get this in your spirit tonight. I hope you get this childlikeness in your spirit. Because without it, you aren't any good to God. Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. This is Paul speaking. My little children, he called his people his little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Just as loving parents are willing to suffer for their children if need be, Paul was suffering persecution in order to preach the gospel to those he called his children. Every now and then I call you my dumb sheep. But you're really God's children. Amen. Come on. You go ahead and laugh. I know what you call me at home. So, you. All right. According to the Bible, childlikeness is our God-given blood-bought right. All right. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Children are heirs. They are inheritors. Slaves are laborers. They do not share in the children's inheritance. Question, are you an inheritor or a laborer? Have to answer that question for yourself. As God's children, we were never intended to live in bondage of any kind. As God's children, we were never intended to live in bondage of any kind. We should be experiencing glorious freedom and liberty. Freedom to enjoy all that God has given us in Christ. He has given us life, and our goal should be to enjoy it. I am not speaking of selfish, self-centered enjoyment that cares only about itself and nothing else. I am speaking of a godly enjoyment, one that learns to have the approach to life and its situation that Jesus had, permitting enjoyment of everything. You know, God said to me one time, you know, he prophesied early on to somebody through me that he said, my road is wide. And I said, and I was thinking that isn't even in scripture because he said his path is narrow. But I asked God about it, and he said, when somebody gives their heart totally and completely to me, everything is theirs, and so my road is wide. And that was years ago, 25, 30 years ago. And a week ago, I read that. Somebody else said that. They said that God told him, once you give yourself totally and completely to God, the road is wide because you can do anything you want to do in Christ because you're totally and completely sold out to him, and God knows that you're not going to do anything wrong. So there's no boundaries. Amen. See, I thought I that bothered me all the days of my life until I read that. I said, well, he told that, somebody else said too. All right, I am speaking of godly enjoyment and one that learns to have the approach to life in the situations that Jesus had, permitting enjoyment of everything. We must seek to become and remain childlike with all the simplicity of a child. It will enhance the quality of your life in an amazing way if you become childlike and learn to enjoy life. Childlikeness. How many of you in here today, you know you don't have the childlikeness, that little child inside of you? I called Brother Brett and I said, I'm going to preach this, and I don't want to see no faces out of you in here tonight. I'm not talking about the child in there that's been abused, or I'm not talking about those little childs. I'm talking about the child that God has placed within us, and he calls us little children. Amen. That child in us isn't abused, it isn't bruised, it isn't battered, it's not scarred, nothing. It is the child of God inside of us. And you know that you don't have that little child inside of you alive and well. God really wants to give you a powerful anointing to bring that child to life so you can enjoy life. No matter how much bitterness comes into your life, you'll be able to enjoy life because God has breathed new life into that little child that's inside of you. The altar's open if you want that tonight. And please don't take this teaching and run with it in the wrong direction. We are to enjoy life, yes. that we are to do it in Christ.